First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
the smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Hey, you guys. Welcome back. We just watched.
Welcome back.
Episode 2, Truth Doesn't Make a Noise. What a great
it's
episode.
So good.
Really?
I loved this episode.
Like, y'all, I really feel like this might be, to date anyway, this is like a top, like, I don't know.
Top
is this
five.
Like a top two? Top
Ooh,
five?
Top two. Hey.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a little hyperbolic. I get a little excited. You got to rein me in.
Well, listen, you're also.
I'm in top 10 territory for sure.
Yeah. Listen, okay. Just to call it all out. Sophia's sick. Sophia and Joy have been traveling all over the freaking planet, working like crazy. I'm in the midst of two renovations. This is the highlight of my week when I get to just sit down for 2 hours with you guys.
It's so nice.
But yeah, juggling
it.
All the things is a lot. Mm-hmm. So what are you juggling right now? Walk me through it. You were getting like blood drawn yesterday.
Oh man, my morning yesterday was so crazy. We're doing this really big episode and it's so good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're on episode 5. So like
you
guys know, season 1 episode 5, it's like all these things are happening. And this incredible director Kate Wood is here with us and she's amazing and like she directs pilots all the time and we couldn't believe we got her to come work on our show. We're so pumped.
That's a good name. Kate Wood.
She's
Kate
fabulous Wood. And she's from Australia and
strong.
She'll come into set and just be like, "Okay,
Kate
darling."
Wood.
And I'm just like,
"It's Kate Wood."
Say it again, Joy.
Kate Wood.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're good at that.
I love her.
You're really good at that. Yeah, she's like the kind of person who comes over to you and calls you darling and squeezes your shoulder and you're just like, stay with me. But yeah, we were doing splits yesterday. So I went to work at 10 a.m. And had a Zoom with my, this is really fun, with my wedding planners.
Yes.
And my sweet fiance, and I'm like riding to work, like combing out my wet hair, just being an animal. And these women are so sweet on the Zoom. And I'm like, hey guys, sorry, you know, I don't have like a bra on. I'm in the sweatpants I slept in, but
no,
how are you?
Set the expectation real low. You want them to think you're a handful.
Yeah, totally. And I get to set, and because I've been sick, they've been trying to get me into the doctor, but I can't go to the doctor because we work all the time. And so a doctor sent a person, a phlebotomist. I love that word, by the way. Phlebotomist.
I do too. It's so
Doesn't
good.
Doesn't that feel so good to say?
I want to play a phlebotomist on TV. How about
phlebotomist.
That?
Phlebotomist. Yeah, I'm really into it. Maybe it's because I love Dexter so much. I don't know. But but this lovely person comes to like draw my blood. But I get into my trailer and I'm on the Zoom with the wedding planners and I lay down because I'm like, if I sit up while you draw my blood, I'll faint. So I just lay down.
Yay!
The nurse like follows me to the ground, takes my blood. I'm still on the Zoom and everyone's just kind of like, what is your life?
Yeah.
And then I went from the blood draw into the hair and makeup trailer and I to get ready and like run lines while, you know, finishing the Zoom. And I just was like, you know what? This is what we do.
It's
juggle.
A lot. Yeah.
We're in a circus.
100%.
We totally
are.
And I
say that like, you know, with the caveat, and I know we all say this, it's like, it's organized chaos. It's insane and it's delicious and we love it. And we're all just like, I don't know. I look around every day being up here and I'm just so grateful. The only thing I could ask for, the only thing more I would want is to get you two lunatics up here to play with me.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, I've won the lottery. Everything's good.
Girl, I've got winter coats. We can come to Canada.
We can just drive up from the farm.
Wrap ourselves in Canada goose.
We'll put Joy on a plane and we'll do it.
That's it. Joy, you've been all over the place
too.
Are you home for a little bit?
Yep.
What are you doing?
I can't figure out what city you're in every day for the last 3 weeks.
Last time I saw you were
like,
in Nashville?
It's been a lot. It's been a lot of traveling that was surprising for me because, as it is in the circus, you never know when you're going to get called to get on a plane all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was, I got a job in Charleston on a great movie, a Miramax movie with Paul Bettany and Carmen Ejogo and just a really amazing group of people. And it was a small group. It was a small cast and we were all kind of in one location the whole time. So it was nice. I wasn't just there for a couple scenes and then left. I really got to be there for 4 weeks and just get to know everybody and spend time. And it felt great. They were keeping it small because of for COVID restrictions and just making sure everybody would stay safe. And
so did it feel really intimate?
So that was a blast. It did. Yeah. We were all just kind of in a house for three, four weeks.
I love it.
That's so cool. I also feel like I have to throw us all under the bus a little bit because as soon as you said Paul Bettany, we all leaned in. We all were like, oh my God. I have to be honest with our queendom fandom that we really all, we were like texting Joy being like, how is he?
How's that?
So handsome?
Listen,
is he so nice?
You guys, Joy.
He's all those things.
One of the most embarrassing nights of my life was with Paul Bettany because we were doing Secret Life of Bees.
What happened?
Secret Life of Bees. He's playing my abusive husband, but like we had to shoot all this lovey-dovey stuff before.
Those scenes were so heartbreaking.
And we're like kissing on steps and it's all cute. And he's like such a gentleman, but also like really fun. And on the drive home that night, I'm just making small talk in the van. And we're driving on this old country road and our van driver hits a deer. And just, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and it's chaos and it's a nightmare. And I was pretty sure he was like, I'm never coming back to this place again. These people are insane.
Oh my God.
But he's a gentleman.
I didn't know you guys had worked together. I didn't put two and two together.
Well, that's why my eyes lit up because he really is a
doll.
He was
so great. Mm. It's a movie that he actually co-wrote with a friend of his, Dana Brown. And we had Mark Waters directing and it was just so cool. Yeah. It was a really cool
the
group.
Pictures
and Carmen
that you
was awesome
us?
Too. I just love her. She's so creative.
You look like a babe in this movie.
Oh my God. Your hair is so good.
It was
in
super
that
fun. Super fun. Yeah. And then after, I mean, we loved Charleston. We had a great time and then went to Nashville for a week to stay with some close friends. And also I had some meetings with labels and musicians and writers and just putting together this upcoming album that I'm planning. And
did we see that you were hanging out with a friend of the show? Did you go see a friend of ours?
A friend of ours. Wait, I sent you a photo, but my brain is dead right now. What?
Jimmy.
Who did I send you? Who was
Jimmy Allen.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy, yes. I had dinner with Jimmy. It was amazing. Sorry, I was thinking somebody from our cast. I was like,
I don't think I saw anyone.
They're
from
tricking
our cast.
Me right now.
Yes, I had dinner with Jimmy and his beautiful wife, Alexis, and their kids, and they were lovely. They had me and Maria over and we ordered a feast, and we just sat and chatted, and it was really fun. He's really a big fan. I'm such a huge fan of his, too. It was super cool. It's been fun. I've been having a fun couple of months, I have to say.
All I'm doing is taking care of all the stuff that I didn't do for the last year. Like, Jeff and I left the farm last October to go film The Walking Dead. And then we have just been on the road, you know, either in North Carolina or in Georgia. And so all this stuff accumulated here. And thankfully, we had really awesome people to, you know, take care of the animals. But there's just stuff that only you know how to do. And now I'm in the thick of major renovations. I've got really witchy wallpaper up in my kitchen now. Oh, and that's all I care about.
Love that wallpaper.
Ooh, I want to see it. Oh, wait, you showed it to us.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to, like, stop what you're doing and take care of the nest so that you can then go out into the world and like do all the stuff. But yeah, we've got a ton of production stuff happening and all I want to do is wallpaper. I stayed up till
That's how I feel.
Literally, we've got this very, very ugly stone fireplace. It was not built by a stonemason. It was just like somebody was like, I'm going to put these rocks on a wall. And I concreted it last night. I stayed up to like midnight. I'm like, I'm sick of looking at this thing.
I love that.
We're so similar. I mean, that's how my kitchen started. I was like, I got a can of green paint from my garage and I started painting a cabinet. I was like, this'll work. You know, a week and a half later, I'm still on the ground with a spray gun painting my cabinets. But it's great to be back. I go to New Jersey for a convention in a few days, so it'll be nice to go back home for a little while, and then I'm here for Christmas. So it's just that time of year when everything is so jam-packed and your email inbox is blowing up and your text messages are blowing up, and we're having a Christmas party here and lots to plan for that. So it's just busy.
I got home from this like weird crazy day at 4 a.m. I mean, I guess technically today. And I was on Pinterest for an hour. I was like, this is how I'm going to unwind.
We're monsters.
I'm going to categorize. Oh, man.
Let's get into lustfactor.com.
No, I want to bury it.
No, I don't. I definitely Guys. Don't. We have such right. good stuff with the party, but let's get into the seedy yeah. aspect of this episode, because it actually was pretty funny.
You know what I'm going to say? And Hillary, you said this early. Mm-hmm. You were like, you know, those people who've done great acting with killer scripts, like, I dare you to do our material. You and I somehow, I think we deserve like a Girl Scout patch. Yeah. You and I somehow made the creepiest storyline feel very cute yeah. between two
Bubbling.
Friends.
Cute.
I dare Kate Winslet to do this. You know what I mean?
I would love to see
Come
Kate
on,
Winslet.
Jodie Foster.
Impress yeah. me.
Just try.
You just take a picture of her ass for Lust Factor and make it look not assaulty.
Did you have to, they had to take that photo for props.
Yeah. So here's what I tried to do is I tried to unsexy every element. If you right. notice, like, my posture in this episode is incredibly slouchy. And then when they had to take the ass shot, I tried to make my legs all, like, you know, not
cute.
No,
you did
cute.
The giraffe stance.
Yeah, I looked like Big Bird.
It was a total giraffe.
It's not cute.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, we're going to take this picture in the shower. And I'm like, I know how to make this ugly. I'm going to put this shower cap on. This is going to be great. If you fight sexy at every turn, ultimately you'll end up with something adorable.
It becomes cute.
You know yeah. what I think you end up yeah. with is comedy. And oh, well wah, done wah. On you.
Yeah. You're a smart cookie.
Well, listen, yeah. like, let's talk about the dating scene, though, in Wilmington, because there was not a lustfactor.com.
There wasn't one.
We were all no. very available women for like 5 minutes.
Hill, did you actually do...
Yeah.
A dating site? Like, did you?
Okay.
You did?
You guys. It wasn't until later seasons. But I was single for like, I don't know what, summer season, what season? All of season six for sure. And my best friend, Tori, who lived in Raleigh, so Tori would like come and hang out with us all the time in town. We decided to sign up for Match.com on New Year's Eve. And we were like, let's just do it. Let's just do it together. This is going to be fantastic. And so Wilmington was like a college town, but also like kind of a military town. And it was like, it was an odd bag of dudes. You never knew what you were going to get. And I get on Match.com and every single dude I talk to is a pilot. And he happens to be flying out that night. And it's the only night he can see you. And he's going to be gone, but he just really wants to meet you that night. So I didn't really end up dating anybody from Match.com. However, I was living alone. And the uncomfortable thing is that a number of my neighbors matched with me. And then they just like walk by the house. And on top of that, one of our crew members matched with me.
No!
It was very uncomfortable.
You have to tell us who it was.
I'll tell you later. No! You guys, it was one of those where they're like, should we? And I'm like, definitely not.
No.
I feel like I need to paint a picture for our listeners.
It was so bad.
Of the dating scene in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Because it has mystified
in 2004.
People. Yeah, in 2004. It has mystified a lot of people.
They're like, why are you guys just kissing each other? And I'm like, you don't get it.
You don't understand. That people are always like, why was that show like such an actual high school? And I'm like, well, because Wilmington has two groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's all of the UNCW students who are 18 to 21.
Yes.
And we are now 21, but on television. So, we're pretty exciting, I don't know, commodities to the college kids. So immediately we're like,
we
must
beers.
Avoid the college. We got to avoid the colleges. Yeah.
But also kind of too old, too mature to date.
Well, that's it.
Guys that were in that 21-year-old bracket in that college town because we had our shit together. We had our lives going
in
our shit together.
It's not
like a normal 21-year-old.
Yeah. Like we had jobs and we weren't like going to go to someone's, you know, Sigma Chi party.
Although that would have been fun. No one invited
honestly,
me.
That would have been fun. I'd have gone.
You know what we should have done is before the show premiered, we should have crashed some frat parties. Aww. We missed it. But as I digress, the other available, quote, largest pool of men in Wilmington are retirees who live on golf courses.
I'm telling
and
you.
And I was
you're
super
not
knocked down to date somebody's grandfather. So
I was.
You could have had it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is basically why we all just kissed each other.
I kept being like, isn't there like a hot professor in town? Or, no, you know, like.
There was a hot professor in town and he was married to an equally hot academic. And I was like, well, could we all have dinner and you could teach me about how you met? I don't know. There was just a gap.
Well, lustfactor.com.
So I understand Match.com.
Yeah, it could have done wonders for all of us had it really existed. I also don't understand how you uploaded Polaroid pictures to the internet in 2000. What was that?
No, I was uploading photos from the Canon Elf.
Oh, is that what your little phone was?
From the little PowerShot, and then I'd put it in the card reader.
Oh my gosh. What's so fun watching that old technology? It really was fun seeing all that.
It's so insane. You guys, let's talk about that opening. Those shots were so beautiful. The like twisting shots, the upside down, the transitions of faces looking at each other in different places. I loved that.
Yeah.
Was this the first episode he directed?
I don't know.
For those of you at home, Billy Dixon was our director of photography. And he had done Ally McBeal. He'd put a lot of lamps.
He did a lot of great work. Sorry, I don't mean to reduce him to just the lamps.
You can also blame art department for some of the lamps. You know what I mean?
That's true. It was a team sport. No, Billy has an illustrious career. And he's done a lot of great work. But this may have been the first time he directed in front of the, behind the actual camera, not just setting up lighting and stuff. So I thought he did a great job. I loved all the transitions. And he was so creative. This, like the CD going into the case, going into the round
basketball hoop.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that shot of Dan and Deb in the hospital room with the cityscape and he coming, shooting through the glass with the reflection. Really, really creative stuff.
But that's such a smart way for us to not be in an actual city. Use a screen, like a printed screen, and just use the reflection of it in the glass because it makes it look totally real and you don't have to travel to Raleigh or Charlotte to get that shot. You know, it's such a smart use of your stage.
Yeah, you can build your hospital room on a stage and make it look like it's outside in a downtown area.
And never leave the compound ever. Ever.
They never wanted to leave the compound. You know what stuck out to me, speaking of the tech that we thought was cool? Who thought any of us ever texted like excellent, excellent, like, you know, or great, G-R-H. Like GR8? Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, Haley would never. She's a tutor. She would never.
That was definitely a grown-up, like, how do the kids talk?
The kids talk like this. And then I realized, I think they did it to get the Bill joke. When you call Lucas Bill, and then you're like, you know, brother-in-law, which I thought was so cute. There was something about that setting. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the parking lot we normally shot in.
No.
And they put like those big banners on the chain link fences and you could see kids playing like sports on the field.
It felt
in the
back. A high school.
It felt like a real high school. This episode seems like that. And the party episode, it gave me like all the cult classics of our time, like Can't Hardly Wait and what was the 10 Things I Hate About You and She's All That?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I loved it so much. This episode felt like that to me.
Well, and it also was big core five energy in this episode.
Yeah.
That scene in the parking lot where it's the five of us, there were not a lot of scenes.
I wish it would longer.
I know, me
too. I
do too. That gave me like big time warm fuzzies to just see us all together and know that like we just come back from hiatus. This was episode two. Like we're still riding high on like everyone's still got a tan from the summer.
And
those scenes felt really good to be together. You know, because we knew at that point that we were working on something that had collected an audience and that we were making a really fun episode. And we also knew that the Nathan and Haley bomb had dropped and was like blowing people's minds. And so it just was really fun to play into that. What was the feedback you got, Joy, as like the wedding stuff unfurled?
I think it was still a lot of the same stuff we talked about before, which is, what kind of an impact is this going to have on, you know, young people who are falling in love at that age? And that was still in the era of message boards as
brutal,
like, and IMs, instant messages when the guy says, IM me sometime. So funny. But yeah, so there were message boards, and so I think that was sort of the chatter at the time. But I don't remember in terms of feedback of specifically Nathan and Haley being married young. I know it was a little hot topic in some magazine blurbs at the time, you know, things that were like, oh, things that are happening on big news in TV land and different things. But I do remember shooting the party scene because that was our first time at Trick. We got that building, and I didn't remember when we were watching the episode, I didn't remember that came to be through Lucas and the scene with you guys. I had never seen that before.
My jaw dropped.
I loved so that. Shocked.
Yeah. How'd we forget that?
We were like, Lucas found Trick. Like, what?
Totally.
I always thought it was Peyton.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was Peyton too.
I guess he gets credit. Thanks, Lucas.
You know what? In your defense, it's not Trick yet. It's just a warehouse party.
I would say
that's true.
It's probably your idea.
It's a rave right now. out of all of the sets that we filmed in, I have the strongest emotional connection to Trick. And so it was really exciting to see it. Did you guys know that the Trick building is in Blue Velvet?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a legendary spot in Wilmington. I just loved that building. Cool. I loved the parking lot. I loved that it was kind of seedy right there on the train tracks on the edge of town.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bar next to it now where my buddy Skylar works, Satellite. You know, like it's.
I love that bar.
It's a hangout, man. And the fact that our convention friends with benefit, do their conventions out of that space and we get to go back and visit there means a lot.
So awesome.
It's so special. Walking up that inner stairwell, like when we did our last convention there, I was
so
like,
many memories.
And like walking up there holding your hand, I was like, oh my God, 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 oh my God. Like I felt like I should be back in that pink top.
Oh my God, the best top ever.
Yeah.
Why didn't I keep
you
that?
You had great outfits in this episode.
Yeah. I really liked it.
The purple top.
Yeah, you looked so cute. the party though, this party was so, it's so retro. I want to throw another one of these parties, like do some sort of theme. Nathan and Haley.
Their anniversary party?
Their anniversary party.
Joy, you
said
that you remember that moment of walking up the stairs, of that sense memory.
I do. I do. And I know that I have a million memories of walking up those stairs, but that one in particular, I don't necessarily remember all the details, but it's weird watching it. It's a convert, like my brain and the image that I'm seeing on screen and the feeling that I had in my body when I was in that, you know, finally converge and connect. And so I remembered standing there with everybody shooting off their confetti, little mini handheld confetti cannons and silly string, and seeing all those faces and the smell of the place. I just remembered that moment. I could feel it again. It was really cool.
Do you guys remember? I don't know why we didn't just like tent the building, but for whatever reason, like when we would film there, it would be from like 6 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. And we essentially had like slumber parties there. And we'd leave Trick as the sun was coming up and like going down those real rickety stairs, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning.
That green room in the back, that green room off to the side with a couple of couches. And like, if you could get to that couch before anybody else did, you got to take a nap. Otherwise, you were stuck with your cast chair.
I just remember craft service being set up in the downstairs of Trick and like it being freezing in there and drinking gallons and gallons of coffee in that place.
Yep.
Yeah, I loved it. What were your favorite sets?
I remember that too.
I mean, Trick for sure. And then I will say, you know, I had such an attachment to Karen's Cafe because Karen's became Close Over Bros.
I loved the River Court, but you never knew what you were going to get. And it wasn't easy to move around because of the gravel around the trailers and the mud and the mosquitoes and the cold. So I loved the location. Visually, I loved it, but you know what I did? Like, I liked whenever we shot outside downtown, walking around in the streets.
I was just going to say that. Front and Market. Yeah. Like, whenever we got to do stuff at those little shops or down by the water, I always loved that. And then we could always run into Edge of Urge.
Well, that's like, it. During our lunch break, we just totally go to Edge of Urge.
We'd like go to Phoenix and get a hummus plate. I loved it.
Oh my God.
Phoenix.
Caprice.
Oh God. Yes.
Such a good
I loved
time.
It. But you know, the thing that was great about Trick too is that you always kind of knew what you were going to get because they figured out the temperature situation. So they had AC pumping into the building on hot days and they had heat coming in on the cold
days. Like season five.
And on the cold days, actually, you pack enough people in there, you just shut the doors and you don't have to turn anything on. Everybody just body heat warms up the whole place.
Wait, whose body heat were you absorbing, Joy? Oh, I was always cold.
Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah, I don't know. I guess Trick was probably my favorite, too. I really enjoyed being there.
We have such special memories there. And I don't know, like you were saying, that feeling of your memory and... It's like your memory comes out of the back of your head and your heart is swelling up and there, it's like all right here. It's very emotional.
Yeah.
And
so good.
I don't know. The seeing how it started is so sweet. We have to talk about the fake cough because Trick begins with this amazing Brooke and Peyton joke and the callback to the fake cough at the party. That killed me, you guys. I loved it.
So cute. We talked about how I really like a Brooke and Peyton 2-on-1, and we do it throughout the course of the show. You know, where you clearly see the footing of this friendship. It's like, okay, like we're on one side, you're on the other. Lucas is definitely on the other side of this.
He's so out of his element with you two.
Oh, and he's not even wearing real shoes.
I mean, the flip-flops were killing me.
Oh my God.
But by the way, I remember teasing Chad about flip-flops in real life. Like, bro, you're on a film set. You got to wear real shoes. They drop shit all the time, you know? Back then, like, flip-flops were cool. Remember everybody had like...
rainbows.
Oh, yeah. Especially in a beach town.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Big deal.
Huge. So I love that the only thing we could think of to get out of this letter-burning conversation with Lucas... was a fake call. Peyton's not a clever girl.
No, but it. No, I disagree. I love it. It's such a funny, it's such a classic comedic device. And you get with no exposition that it's a joke between the two of them. And it's so funny to me that it's like, that's the thing you did, or you know, the fake cough. And then so Brooke uses it on Peyton at the end, you're just like, oh man, it just killed me.
Like but it. How awkward, you know, it's like they call him the nameless one earlier in the
it's
episode.
It's like Voldemort.
Has he done
so weird.
Yeah, what's he done really that's that bad? I feel like he's apologized 300 times.
How does he know that you didn't read the letter?
Well, he doesn't know till the end, but like,
just because we're being so awkward about it.
Yeah.
I think he can just see that we're like, yeah, no, the letter was fine. And he's like,
it was fine.
No, but even asking the question in the first place, like, why would he know to, like, what was it that was giving it away that he went, you guys didn't read the letter?
We didn't cry, Joy. We didn't cry because his words moved our hearts.
You guys want to talk about Deb and Dan?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Wow.
They are projecting.
Oh, yeah, big time.
They are just projecting onto Nathan and Haley so much. And God, it
Deb is
breaks
young,
my
sure.
heart.
Well, I guess Dan is too. For our listeners, when we watch the show together, we're all in different places and, you know, we all hit play at the same time. So if you miss something, it's kind of hard to be like, okay, everybody stop. Let me rewind. Let me watch it again. You just keep going. So I missed, I don't know, my brain was distracted. What was the doctor saying about Dan? Why is he suddenly nice? What happened?
Girl. He had a heart attack. I mean, like
it wasn't like some sort of brain. I feel like he was trying to say there's something happened where now he's like, can't remember. He's got some kind of amnesia or he's got some kind of something.
It's teen drama doctor talk. Sophia plays a doctor on TV. Tell us so.
let me tell you what the way I took it, and I thought it was a little unclear as well, but I thought Deb was basically like, what is going on with him? And he was saying, well, his disposition is positive and whatever. And, you know, he was saying all these words you've never heard Dan Scott described as, so much to the point that I can't remember what they were and I didn't put them on my notes, but basically saying like, he's empathetic and happy. And she's just like, what? Like, is this going to last? You know, everyone is like, did he have a stroke? Like, we're very confused.
That's sort of confused. And even that, but like now that hearing Whitey was like trying to get Keith to go back and try and reconcile again. That was so out of character. I didn't understand that part. I don't understand. Why doesn't everybody just tell Dan to go screw himself and leave everybody alone?
I love feisty Joy.
Yeah.
Joy is Joy. You have had it up to your eyeballs with toxic relationships and you are like out in the world with a flamethrower. No. Just like, take it down, get out. I love it. You're so over it.
The Dan of it all. Like, we've seen Dan drinking whiskey out of his glass in every episode ever. And in this episode, he's like eating hospital Jello. You know, like,
I loved it.
Every single choice was to kind of emasculate and
soften.
Yeah,
to like defang him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Even seeing him in the hospital gown at the beginning, we talked about, was like a choice because he's really vulnerable and like, I like seeing Dan on his heels, but I also know it's bullshit because the second Deb comes in and is crying, he's like, baby, we got this. We're going to get
called it
together.
Yes. You called it. You said in the early part of the episode, you said he's giving me major Anakin Skywalker vibes before he goes dark.
Huge.
And then when he's holding Deb and he says, we'll get our son back. I was like, like, I'm just hearing like, Luke, you know?
Nathan, like, Luke, I am your father.
I am your father.
He's Anakin Skywalker for sure. Oh, Joy called it when Keith goes to visit Karen because Joy's like, this energy is different.
Yeah. There was some new chemistry there.
New chemistry.
Yeah. Maybe it was like, the fact that Keith had allowed himself to really like, well, not that he's not slept with anybody else in the last 30 years, but or I guess it was 15 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, but there was something about it seemed like maybe
pheromones
leaving town.
Yeah. Just taking a stand.
Yeah. Suddenly he feels a little more free and he's not quite so puppy dog-ish with Karen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is much more appealing. And she, and I loved those shots. Again, Billy Dixon with the great directing of shooting Karen low beneath, when you're over Keith's shoulder looking down at Karen. And then when you're behind Karen's shoulder looking up at Keith and you can see the sort of tall masculine vibe from him and that small feminine vibe from her. And it was this quick scene, but it was nice.
It was flirty.
Well, it was interesting. It was flirty. And it's a really interesting thing to be able to observe because you realize that, you know, they always made us all stand on apple boxes.
Yeah.
So it would be easy to shoot around like we were all the same height. And none of us are as tall as those boys.
We actually had very tall boys on our show. That's rare.
Very tall.
Super
boys.
Rare it's for rare. Actors.
It is really rare. Yeah. So there was something really interesting in that dynamic. Like,
I want to look little. I always look like Lurch. I'm always. Yeah, I want to look little. Damn it. Someone give the boy an apple box.
Those Bambi eyes.
It's just interesting because Keith, in a way, has set a boundary. Mm. You know, he finally established a boundary between him and Karen sees him differently now.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of boundaries and flamethrowers, Haley sets a gauntlet of a boundary down with Deb, and I liked it. Do you remember filming that scene?
I do in a way. I don't remember the exactly any of the behind the scenes stuff, but yeah, I mean, I love that scene. I love that she's willing to extend an olive branch, be nice, be generous up to a point.
Yeah.
But then she's fierce and defends her family. And I loved that about her.
Joy, do you know what I remember about filming that scene?
What?
It was one of the first times I remember you saying, we need to have a conversation about this because you were upset that Nathan wasn't backing Haley up. while we were filming, you were like, how come Nathan doesn't say like anything to his mother? And I remember thinking like, yes.
Interesting.
You don't remember that? You were like,
no.
You were like, he's really just going to stand there and make, and just like watch.
That sounds like
while
me.
His mother is like berating his new wife. Like that is gross. And I remember thinking,
yeah,
girl, why do they make us do all the work? Why do they do that? And I was so happy that you said that. And I don't know that you necessarily won that fight. And I think, you know, Haley looks strong in this episode, yeah. standing up for herself. Yeah. But I also really value that you were like, no, it's not on me to put your mother into her place. This is a you yeah. situation. So for all of you at home.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I remember that fight and I liked it.
I love that. It would have been nice, actually. And that could have easily been done. They could have shot a quick glance where I look at Nathan and he doesn't do anything. And then I'm like, okay. And then I jump in and then they have a fight about it later. Or they could have shot a moment where Nathan starts to talk and I just touch him with my hand. And I'm like, I'd like to address this. Yeah. And then I handle it. But just something to where Nathan's not just standing there like a putz. But, you know, they're teenagers.
They
I mean,
he is a boy. And we said that during the episode, you know, Deb's like, he's not a man. He's a boy.
Right.
And that was probably the truest line for me in this little narrative. Because as the mother of a boy, no one better touch him ever, ever, ever.
They'll ruin his life.
You're going to ruin him.
I thought Barb was handling all that really well, by the way, because it was nice to see after how much we talked about in the first season, how much she had everything together and was handling everything. And it was starting to spin out toward the end of season one. But she was such a beacon of a woman with her shit together in the first season. So to see everything kind of spinning out and really seeing all the cracks start to show, I really liked that. And I thought Barb, as an actress, handled that really well. It was nice to see that.
Yeah, and it is really nice, too. I do think that her reaction grounds the experience, and it also enables everyone else's joy. Like, if everyone was just happy about it, it wouldn't have felt as real or high stakes, I think. And her being the character who struggled with it enabled, you know, Haley's parents to then be these supporters. And oh my God, Huey Lewis giving that speech at the end about, you know, you can drive at 16, go to war at 18, drink at 21. And he goes on and on and on, you know, how old do you have to be before your love is real? And I was just like, oh, what a sweet dad. And, you know, if Deb hadn't have had a terrible reaction, then that wouldn't have, maybe it wouldn't have been necessary, but it might not have felt as meaningful either.
I loved Bess Armstrong and Huey Lewis in this episode so much. Them snuggling with Haley on her bed when she comes home.
Yeah.
Great parenting advice. I loved the way that they cuddled and snuggled and were like, we are here for you, but also you chose this and you got to fly the coop. You're done with being the baby now. Mm. We really see where Haley got her ability to set great boundaries, which I loved. And I just, they're so cool. They're like, those are the kind of parents I want to be. And by the way, Bess is someone who I've stayed in touch with and who I've had lunches and dinners with. And she is such a generous, kind, open-hearted, smart woman. Like, couldn't ask for a better TV mom. It's somebody you can just get advice from and who's been through a lot in her own life and has seen all angles of this business. And I just love her. We love you, Bess.
Yeah, Bess, come on the show. Come give us some advice.
Please join us.
Please.
We think you're a babe.
They were great wish fulfillment parents. After seeing all these kids with either broken homes or no parents at all, to see that and to be able to just kind of like feel warm in it, it was so nice. And it made the end of the episode really painful to know that it's not going to stick around. When they announce that they're leaving, it feels like a cheat. It's like, oh, we just got this really comfortable sweater and now we have to take it back? Like,
I know.
Blech. Huey Lewis. by the way. So I got this t-shirt in third grade, a Huey Lewis in the News t-shirt. It was the Sports Pages album. And I wore that till it was see-through. I mean, absolutely see-through.
You did.
And I brought it to set while we were filming this episode. And I was like, I feel like such a nerd, but will you sign my t-shirt? I've had it since I was 8. And he was like, I'm going to teach you a trick real fast. And he somehow like held the t-shirt so it would be like super flat and tight so he could sign it. And he's like, this is an old tour trick. And it was just such a cool thing to see him go back into like lead singer mode. You know, to like go from dad mode to like, I'm a rock star.
I love it. So cool.
He's a cool dude. Real fun.
Man.
Yeah. What a babe.
What an amazing opportunities our job affords us, these strange moments of...
With heroes.
With heroes. Yeah. Yes. It's really cool.
Well, to see him it do the fake really ID, cool. Brooke set up a good party. Let's talk about Brooke's party tricks. Walk us through
they
them.
They were sweet. They were very sweet. Okay, what did we do?
The elevator thing.
Oh my God. I loved my first and favorite thing of the night actually was the board that Peyton did with Nathan and Haley's baby photos.
That's super cute.
Loved that.
That just killed me. And there was something so sweet about having those photos on that board and then the big photos of the two of them from the wedding on the stage. Mm-hmm. And you sort of see the motion of a life.
Yeah,
and these people, and I just loved it. But yeah, Brooke's party tricks. Brooke and Peyton threw a good party. Let's actually clarify that.
Peyton just made the mixtape, baby.
You know what? We did good. We did good. But I loved like temporary tattoo stations with Nayli forever, and I loved, you know, everyone make your elevator list, and then if you have it in common, this is what's so funny. There is no Brooke is like again, the men who wrote our show wrote this episode where Brooke is essentially violating Peyton's consent.
Oh my God.
The entire episode, taking these horrible the pictures
episode.
Of her. It's such a terrible
so
model. It's the worst. And then weirdly, models a really good consent rule for a hookup and is like, you're only allowed to hook up with someone if you each have each other on your list. And I was like,
yeah.
What is this? Like, we're in, we're out, we're in, we're out. Like, what is this?
We were still figuring it out. Early 2000s were dicey, man.
We were still figuring it out.
Dicey.
But you know, I will say, you want to kiss somebody in the elevator who wants to kiss you, I still stand by it. Have a good time.
Hey, hey. The spin the body was actually really cute.
Wait, level 5 elevator that would always get stuck was... Yep. Ground zero for lots of debauchery in town. Did you ever kiss anybody in that elevator?
Really?
I don't think I did.
I didn't know that.
Oh my God, that elevator would get stuck all the time. And you just be
it
in there.
It did?
Honestly, I think the only person I ever got stuck in that elevator with was you. So that's a missed opportunity.
God, Sophia, what could have been?
Guys, it was a big freight elevator. It was the elevator that they brought all the equipment up on. So they would load all the camera equipment, the lights and everything up on this freight elevator and then you know, buzz it up to the second floor. But yeah, I didn't know it was elevator. Always, yeah, the trick elevator.
No, Hillary's talking about the elevator at level 5 downtown when we'd go to see comedy.
Level 5.
Yeah, baby, we had 5 levels to get stuck.
Oh, that elevator was really tiny.
That was a scary elevator, but also apparently a sexy one. So
sex evader.
I will say I agree with you, Joy. I love spin the body. I think that's actually very cute.
Yeah. So
and,
cute.
And how cute is Mouth?
He's yes.
he's so sweet, and everyone's telling everyone who their elevator list is, and he says Brooke, and it's like they love each other so much that it's just a cute moment with them. It doesn't make it weird. It doesn't make it sexy. Yeah. It doesn't. No one's annoyed. I just keep coming back to like, man, this episode feels carbonated. Like it's bubbly and alive.
Well, we had the River Court boys back.
I love
it. You know, I was just going to say that. Finally, we got Vaughn. We got Skills
when
back.
When Vaughn ate spray cheese off of Antoine's shoulder, I was like, that's the best thing anyone's ever done on our show.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, they add so much to it. And to see all like the basketball players at the party, to see our cheerleading friends dancing, like Bevan being totally Bevan.
Bevan and Daniela. And so
she's
fun.
A good dancer. She's a good party girl, Bev.
Yeah, I think she's still got it, too. So this anniversary party is going to be freaking off the chain.
Oh, my God.
Whitey showing up at the party was very sweet. And bringing a baby gift, which so inappropriate.
Oh my God. Honestly though, I was like, see, look, it's not just Brooke who thinks.
Well, but by the way, you did a very good job of when you realized that Joy's really not pregnant. Haley's not pregnant, of kind of that realization, like, oh, people actually just love each other and don't get, you know, sideswiped into situations. That's crazy.
Yeah. Really nice moment.
I loved that moment between us. Yeah. Because Haley's trying to like make something make sense to Brooke. Mm-hmm. And Brooke is realizing that there doesn't have to be a device or a gimmick. And she's never had that modeled for her. And that's certainly not, you know, what she went through with Lucas and Peyton and that letter that they wrote. And so it's such a short scene between us, but it's really, really touching.
You guys were both really good at this. Keeping there was always, no matter what was going on, you know, with Peyton, it was the tough, hard, wry exterior. With Brooke, it was the bubbly excitement, pushing the buttons exterior. But you always kept the fragility of the little girl and what even as you were women, and when we jumped ahead 4 years, both of you are always really good at being able to switch those moments from whatever the facade was into the real vulnerability. And I think that's one of the things that made your characters so interesting, that you just never knew at any moment that fragility could pop up to the surface.
Well, Joy, you're good at that too.
Thank you. Yeah, you are.
Oh, your lone tear in this episode during Huey Lewis's toast was like the killer. That was the killer. Yeah. But don't you guys feel like that in real life? Like, honestly, I don't know what's going on.
I was just thinking that.
I've got an 11-year-old son, and I've been having all these conversations with him, and there are some times where I feel like we're the same age. Do you know what I mean? Like on the inside, I still feel like I'm a middle schooler. And so
I do too.
That little girl thing still pops up in real life.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the reality for so many of us is, you know, you get older and you start to learn like what all the sort of teenagers and younger versions of yourself that you still carry are. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, wow, I have to parent all these versions of myself so I can be an adult and so I can be a real parent. And so, you know, the list goes on. And yeah, I feel that. I still sometimes sit and go into that young girl who goes, is it me?
What I do?
Am I the one who's not supposed to be here? Am I in trouble? Like, whoa. And I do. I think that's that, I don't know, that piece of us that maybe we carry forever.
Well, the secret of the universe is that the grownups don't know the answers. And Karen says that. Karen says, I have no roadmap for you, Lucas.
I love that moment. I loved that.
I'm figuring it out myself. And I think that's where I'm at in my life right now. I'm just like, there's no map. Like, what are we doing?
Nope. I mean, we have all these paths of people who have gone before us where you find patterns where you're like, okay, eventually A plus B plus C is going to equal X. And so we know that pretty much no matter who you are, where you are in life, if you go down these roads, it's not going to lead to something great. Or if you go down these other roads, this is the pattern of success for a lot of
hugs, not drugs, is what you're saying.
Hey, you know what? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Just say no.
Yeah.
But unless it's mushrooms, but we'll get back to that later.
You're welcome.
but yeah, you know, there is no roadmap for you.
No.
I mean, there's a general sense of like, here's the direction. If you go east, you're going to go east, but there's no specific, like,
there's a compass, not a map.
Figuring it out.
We've got a compass.
It's a compass, not a map. There you go.
Yeah, wah, I like that.
Do we want to answer some questions?
Yeah, actually, I love this. Tiana asked, and this does feel incredibly appropriate given today's chat. Oof. Would you react more like Dan and Deb or like Haley's parents if your child told you they wanted to get married at a young age?
Oh, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Which kid?
Unless I really liked the kid.
Yeah, which one of my kids?
Which kid?
Because here's the deal. If someone thinks they can handle my daughter, congratulations. I tell everybody, I'm like, she is the greatest weapon I've ever created in my life. Like, she is payback for everything because she is so strong and so ferocious. So if someone thinks they can handle George Morgan, good luck.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely be best in that situation. But I totally understand Deb. 100%.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
my son is such a sensitive animal. And I'm sure she had those moments with Nathan when he was a little boy, you know, and that's what she's not seen older Nathan. She's seen baby Nathan, the kid she was looking at in that picture.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about that. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is anxiety. And the second thing that comes to mind is me thinking, well, your prefrontal cortex isn't done developing until you're 26. So no, you have to wait until you're at least 26. Take it from those of us who were idiots in our early 20s. Just wait until you're 26. Like, come on.
What do you want, a ring? I got a ring. You can have this ring.
What do you want? Like, I'll send you somewhere on a trip. I don't know. You know, it gives me a lot of anxiety. But then, and I think I told this story last week. Like, I look at my sweet cousin and she's blissfully happy. And, you know, they got married in their early 20s. So all I know is that I don't know.
Joy,
I mean,
when Maria
when
comes.
You look at Romeo and Juliet, I mean, you know, their parents were totally disapproving and they did teenagers do what they want to do. They find a way. So I think that's where it comes into knowing your kid and knowing what your limits are with their independence and where, you know, at what point do you know that they're going to need an ally more than they need your strong word or your discipline. Mm-hmm. So I think knowing my kid, I probably would come in real strong, but just like to be really clear about how I feel. But then I would also have to come around because I don't want her like just running off and disappear. You know, at the end of the day, if she's going to choose what she's going to choose, she's going to need my help. She's going to need me to be an ally for her as things progress.
Can we just make like a pact right now that if that happens to any of us, like we just run to Joy's house and let her make us a very stiff drink, or like if it's you, we'll just run to you and just bring all the liquor. You're in charge.
I'm
all the
into
liquor.
It.
Bring it all. Alicia asks, how did you prepare for the scenes where you had to show emotion and cry? And also, does it take a while to come out of the deep emotion afterwards? Mm. You guys have anything to say? I mean, I just cry. I don't know. It's kind of what we were talking about before, where the fragility of life and the things that, the groundedness of the things that you feel the weight of as a human throughout your day or your life, that you just carry those with you. And, that's the gift of a storyteller, I guess. We're able to access those points and release them, upon command, generally.
Sophia and I are both cancers. We cry all the time, you know? Cancers are just like super emotional people. I didn't think that my body was keeping score of all the crying that I was doing on One Tree Hill. And Cheryl Lee, who plays Ellie later in the show, warned me about this. She was like, Yes. She was like, your brain knows that it's bullshit. Your body doesn't. And she's like, and you're doing all sorts of crazy stuff on this show, you know, and we hadn't even hit peak crazy yet. It's like my body, my sense memories of being on the show are trauma because there was just like tears and tears and tears. And, you know, your body releases chemicals. Your brain releases chemicals when you're going through all of that. So I tried to counter it by being super fun party girl outside of work. I think I was just really tired all the time. You can only stay up till 2 a.m. so many nights in a row before all the all it catches up.
It is a really interesting thing to understand the kind of physiology of your body and the toll that this work takes. You know, people think being an actor is glamorous, and it's a lot of physical work and oftentimes a lot of emotional torture, and we love it because we love to tell stories. I mean, you said it, Joy. We are storytellers. It is who we are. You are or you're not. And
yeah.
And for me, I think, you know, when I was younger and had a lot more anxiety about being able to perform on command, being a good girl, doing the good job, mm-hmm. it that would be the thing that would kind of impede me. So I would try to take time. I like to make playlists for different projects, and I'd try to like get away from the noise, you know, the joking on set, like put some headphones in, like be in a space. And it's interesting because I think as I've gotten older and been to more therapy and unpacked just more things and given myself more permission to feel how I feel rather than how I think everyone else in the room expects me to feel or mm-hmm. behave all the time, it's much yeah. easier to let, caveat with good writing, to let the writing take me to the place. Because good yeah. writing, you have, to your point, you know, whether it's Cancerian or just it comes from empathy, you have a response to it because it feels really grounded in something real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing I'm still trying to figure out is how do you process the after effects? How do you get that stuff out of your body? You know, animals in the wild go through trauma and then they lay on the ground and they shake really violently for like 10 or 15 minutes. And then they get up and they hop or run away.
Oh, that's an option?
Yeah, like humans don't do that. So how do we get it out of us? I think this is probably why I was like the healthiest when I was also like dancing regularly when I was in the classes yeah. and stuff. But, you know, like on my last job, to your point, Hillary, like I was in Peyton world. It was like trauma, sadness, death, murder, violence, yeah. crying all the time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't be touched by strangers. Somebody grabbed me once on the street, like grabbed me by the back of the arm, not meaning to be creepy, but like I turned around and elbowed a guy almost in the face.
Oh,
like it was such a knee jerk reaction.
Did he still want a picture?
Yeah. and he was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I mean, he was at least a wise enough person to be like, I really shouldn't have done that.
Uh-huh.
But it took me a long time to get that stuff out of my body. And yeah. so, I don't know. I'm like, listeners at home, do you have any tips for movement medicine for us gals? Anything we can share with the rest of the audience?
We're just going to have to dance it off.
Yeah. Honestly, that I'm ready for.
Dance it off, baby.
We're going to Joyce. Yeah. We're bringing the booze. We're having God a dance. Bless. Whether any of our children want to get married early or not.
Yeah, well, I think that's why we appreciate these kinds of episodes where there is a lot of joy. Like we're having like a ton of fun in these episodes because we know that they were pleasant to film.
Yeah.
And we had a good time. So thanks for those questions. Great. Y'all want to spin a
thanks,
wheel?
Thanks, guys.
I think we should.
Spin a wheel. Where's that wheel? Come on now.
Most likely to.
Get it.
What do we got?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Move to a foreign country.
Who's most likely to move to a foreign country? Well, Karen moved to Italy. And then didn't she go to Australia?
Karen, yeah.
Yeah, with Kieran.
Andy.
What was his name? Andy.
Hot Andy. Yeah, yeah.
Hot Andy.
He was. Do that accent again, Joy.
On my Australian accent.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. No, I can't do it when I'm. Hold on. Blah, 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 I'm doing British.
No, it's so easy.
I know.
To
I'm going
British
to sour cream. You go to get some coffee in the sour cream, and you know, I've got these Christmas cookies, but you can't really enjoy Christmas in the heat, can you?
Oh,
I mean, maybe
God.
You can. I've never been to Australia in the summer, in the winter.
That's a sexy
it's
accent.
It's not very good.
Joy.
It's all right.
No, I'd still kiss you. I like it.
It's really close. No. I like it a lot.
Joy, I would say you're the person in real life who would move to a foreign, like I can see you going to live in Austria.
Yeah.
You know, going to live in France, like wherever. You were learning Italian, weren't you?
French. Mm-hmm. I was learning. I know a little Italian, but yeah, I love languages and I love just different cultures. I'm so interested in the way other people live and how they interact with each other and the earth and spirituality and food and wine.
I almost didn't come back from Italy this summer. I was like, I don't think I need to go.
Unbelievable.
I think I should just stay.
Unbelievable.
But you had the most magical trip ever. Like you had like a fairy tale.
It was great. But it's like, you know, so much of my family's there. And I was just like, I don't know, man. Maybe we should just do this. Maybe I'll like make cheese.
If there's a soap opera in Italy that wants to hire the three of us.
Ooh.
Oh my God, I would love
call
it.
Call us.
Let's go.
Yeah. I just want to wear cool outfits and all black and, you know.
Somebody send us on a
drink coffee all day.
European tour.
Yeah, I want to drink coffee all day and wine all night and God eat bless. Pasta.
You guys, this was a fun episode. I love your faces. Sophie, I want you to go to sleep and get some rest.
Love you too.
Enjoy. I want
get in my bed.
You to enjoy being home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be home. You know who's coming over today who I've never met before?
Who?
Kimbra.
What?
Oh, she's such a babe.
Singer,
she's
Kimbra?
The best. Please give her a hug for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know her, but you can hug her for me too.
Oh, I've known her for a long time. She's an angel. And
You have?
Yeah, for years. Yeah, we, God, I think we met the summer I turned 30. She's the best. She's really good friends with Kenny.
Oh, who directed our music video?
Yeah, he directed our video. One of my best friends, and she is a huge One Tree Hill fan.
Sweet.
That's so cool. I love that. She's brilliant. I mean, I've been a huge fan of her music for many, many years.
She is a savant.
Many years.
Like a truly genius.
Truly a genius.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. Please write us a song.
Yeah. Do it.
She needs to finish our theme song. That's what she's the perfect person, actually.
Perfect.
All right.
That's how we're going to kick off the new year.
Well, we hope everybody's getting ready for the holiday season and having a merry, merry time. And don't work too hard, you know, enjoy the rest of the holidays.
And we'll see you back here next week for season 2, episode 3, Near Wild Heaven.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, drama girl. All about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl.
Drama girl.
Cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens.
Smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.